Good afternoon. Welcome. It's good to be with you again on this lovely Sunday afternoon. I welcome you with all my heart. I love every one of you unequivocally, absolutely. All is well. Last Thursday evening, I touched a subject in which I received many phone calls. I was speaking of the fact that a yani, when a person becomes self-realized and becomes a so-called yani, the body no longer has anything to do with him or her. In other words, the body has nothing to do with the yani. The body appears to be a body, and the body will go through its own activities and do what it came here to do. I must have touched a nerve when I said that, some people. We got 4 or 5 phone calls in regards to it, and people wanted me to elaborate on the subject, so I will. We'll discuss a little further, see what we get. First of all, where is a yani, a sage? To come up with that answer is the question, what is not a sage? A sage is never a yogi, or a spiritual teacher, or a meditation teacher. I use the term nani and sage interchangeably. A sage has absolutely no teaching to give you. If you want to have a teaching, you have to go to a spiritual teacher, a yogi, a meditation master. But the sage never has a teaching to give you whatsoever. The idea is just to be in the presence of the sage. That's the teaching. A sage does not teach tantric yoga, kundalini yoga, hatha yoga, Raja Yoga, Laya Yoga, or anything else. For all teachings are from the mind. Where else do they come from? They're all mental concepts. The sage is beyond the mind, beyond the mental concepts. So how can a sage give a teaching? A sage is absolute reality, pure awareness. And the term sage is loosely termed. Sage is meant all-pervading. A sage is not confined to a body whatsoever. A sage is the whole universe, all-pervading, everywhere present. So to be in contact with the sage, all you have to do is think about the sage. And you're in contact with the sage. But there's no teaching to give. Teaching is emptiness. When a person so-called becomes enlightened, I hate to use these terms, they're so meaningless. But so you understand what I'm talking about, I use these terms loosely. A make it simple for you to understand. When a person of being so-called awakens, the awakening has nothing to do with the body whatsoever. This is why throughout history you've had sages that have been kings, queens, sages that have been laborers, they've been married or single, they have boyfriends or girlfriends, whatever the case may be. Some of us in caves and shunned the world completely. Some traveled from country to country, never stood in one place. A sage is never looking for anything. There's nothing left to look for. A sage has attained everything there is to attain. Total freedom is a sage. Absolute reality, absolute freedom. Freedom from desire, freedom from wants. Yet the body of the sage remains the same. Not to the sage, but to the people looking at the sage. The sage realizes he has no body. He has nobody. But the body of the sage goes through its karma. In order for a sage to come to this plane, to present himself or herself as a sage, they have to take on the body. Otherwise no one would ever hear of a sage. If Ramana Maharshi didn't have a body, no one would ever hear of him. Same is true of every sage that ever lived. They have a body in order to teach in their own inimitable way. So everything the sage does is a teaching, so to speak. The sage is not a teacher, but everything he does is a teaching. The sage kills your mind, destroys the mind. The mind destroyed is eternal happiness, total freedom. As long as you have a mind and you're thinking, you can never truly be happy or peaceful, possible. For this world is not a world of happiness or thinking. This world is not a world of peace. The body appears to be doing something that everybody else does. It's like the example of the fan, and you pull out the plug of the fan. It keeps rotating so it stops. When you pull out the plug of the fan, it doesn't stop instantaneously, does it? It keeps going for a while before it stops, slows down, stops. Such is the body of the sage. The sage is coming to this plane with a plug out. And when the fan stops, so to speak, and the sage disappears. He drops the body and leaves. So while the sage is on this plane, all you remember is like the fan going without a plug. There's no karma that's being accrued. And And then it appears to be. There are many different jnanis. And we can't judge these things. The worst thing we can ever do is become judgmental. Compare. Find fault. As long as we believe we are a body and a mind, we can never really understand what a sage is. Never. It's impossible. For the mind is not meant to do that. There are also certain sages in this world called avadhuts. An avadhut really means crazy adept. This sage comes to this world to tear your world apart. He purposely is here to tear your world apart, the thing that you believe, your systems. Everything that you stand up for. This sage tears you all to pieces. Show you that it doesn't matter. You won't be wrapped up in anything. In other words, a sage can go into a bar, see a bunch of people drinking, I'll join them and drink more than them. You won't get twice as drunk as they are. Then they will feel different by being with a sage. Something will happen to them, they become sort of realized inside and start to pursue a spiritual life. A sage may appear to be a fool. This is coming from your viewpoint. Yet, the sage has nothing to do with the body. Take the example of the screen. And you go see a movie called The Godfather. On the screen you see all sorts of violence, murders, mayhem, confusion. All this happens to the screen. Blood is flowing all over the place. Was the screen affected at all? As the movie's over, the screen is just the same as where we fall. The screen has not been affected one iota. The images are finished, they're gone, and the screen remains the same. This happens with a sage. A sage always realizes he is a screen. And all the images are superimpositions on him. Everything the body sage does is simply like the images on the screen. The paradox is, the sage knows he is a sage without a word, without a name, and realizes the body is a body. But when you look at a sage, you see something different. You see a human being. You see a person like yourself. And create a sage in your own image. You want certain expectations from the sage. You expect the sage to behave in a certain way, do certain things that you believe are true and right. You believe that we all. where the sage is always smiling and happy and observes you and watches you, leaves you alone, lets you dig your own grave, so to speak. The sage will never interfere in your life. Remember, the sage is not a problem solver. All problems are of the mind. What does the sage have to do with this? Nothing. All works are of the mind. The sage is beyond the mind. Beyond thinking, beyond thoughts, beyond doing, beyond appearances. This is why there's nothing more powerful than being with a sage. And having a quiet mind. Your job is never to be judgmental whatsoever. Have no opinions for or against anything. Why? Because it's where you're coming from. That's how you see it. And when I speak like this, sometimes it blows to the ego. Because the ego's sitting there saying, you can't say that to me. I've got my own mind. I've got to make up my own opinion. This is keeping you back. Many of you are here to try to become enlightened, so to speak, awaken, and healing yourself back because you're judgmental. You have your own preconceived ideas of what a sage is, what you are, what you want, what you need. And this sense of growth. This is why the best course of action for you is to stop thinking whatsoever. Catch yourself every time you think and put a stop to it. Stop your mind from thinking, totally, completely. For all thoughts are erroneous, I don't care what the thoughts are, how good the thoughts may be, how altruistic you think it may be. As long as you're thinking you're hindering yourself. I guess some people might say, well, what about my work? I gotta think of my future, I gotta think of the present. I gotta think of my bills, I gotta think of my family, I gotta think of this and that. There's a power which knows the way. If you but surrender to this power, all of your needs will be met from within. All of your needs will be met from within, always. If you sit there being judgmental, think that you can find peace and happiness by doing certain things, never happen. And the body will come back again and again and again to the search plane. Always searching, always looking for something. But never just being. And true nani is something that you can never understand yourself. It's impossible. You can't understand with your mind. With no explanation in the mind. Therefore you expect the sage to be what you are. And you'll say, well, that's just a person like me. He or she does the same things that I do. Always remember the sage knows He has no body. Even though the body appears to you, he says, no, 100% he has no body. Never had a body, never will have a body. And he says, looks at you and sees himself. Looks at the world and sees himself. There's no one else for the world to look to the sage but to the self. So he's always seen himself everywhere he looks. By seeing himself, I mean he realized the whole universe is inside of him. And emanating through his mind, so to speak. That's how it appears to you. You are told not to judge by appearances at all. Every teacher said this, never judge by appearances. Because most of us do. So it's up to each one of us to do the right thing. If you want to transcend your body, if you think of the sage will think of you. Because again, the sage is all pervading omnipresence. Now, where are you coming from? What do you see when you wake up in the morning? You worry about your life, it's not going the way you want it to go. You think you have to find teaching someplace far away? Or a teacher will give you something that you need? You think there's a special book that you can read, this will enlighten you and make you happy? See a certain thing that you can do and become peaceful and relaxed, will last. None of these things ever last, but for a while, for a few moments, a few days, a few months, a few years. Then you revert back to what you were before, because the minds have been destroyed. Your job is to destroy the mind and think about these things. That's why you're here. To destroy the ego completely. That's the only way you'll be free, totally free forever. There's no other way. Part of these ways I'm speaking to you and see them as right. Every teaching is of the mind. Every teaching that you chase, go after. Every teaching that he gives you, or she gives you, is from the mind. It's always on the mind. If there's no mind, you'll have nothing to look for. And the mind wants to search and look. But if there's no mind, who's left to look? Who's left to see? So the light goes on with the seer and the object of the seer. This is how we're made. To see an object and to identify with the object. I'm saying transcend the seer and the object both. By inquiring as soon as the subject comes to them. Who sees the subject? What is its source? You must ask this question repeatedly, all day long. What is the source of my misery? What is the source of my happiness? When the mind tries to be judgmental, catch yourself. Ask yourself, whom does this come? To whom does this judgment come? It comes to me. I think this. But am I really the I that thinks this? Am I a lie? Where did I come from? Who am I? Who's the thinker? And go beyond, keep going beyond everything that comes to your mind. Go beyond all the answers. Until you're left in total peace. When there are no more answers, you're totally free and peaceful. As long as you're looking for answers, you can have no peace or happiness. Always remember this world and the world will improve. Many people are trying to make this world a better world in which to live. You cannot do this. It'll only be for a few days, a few months, a few years. This world and the world will be improved at all. The world will be gotten rid of. In the mind. It starts in the mind, begins in the mind. You don't think someday the world will be a better place in which to live, you'll be happy? It'll never happen. Since the beginning of time, man has tried to improve this world with no avail. Things sometimes seem to improve for a while, but it'll become worse than it ever been before. Why? Because this is the way of this world. You have to have friction in this world in order for it to survive. If there's no friction in this world, the whole world will disintegrate totally. You have no world. There's the good and bad, right and wrong, up and down, forward and backward. In order for a jet plane to fly, there's the same amount of power pushing it back, resisting. That's how the plane flies. Has that resistance? If there's no resistance, it wouldn't fly. It wouldn't be able to take off the ground. So it is with our life. In order to achieve something, there has to be resistance. Think about this. Whatever you wish to achieve in your life, you have to have resistance. In order to achieve. If there were no resistance, there'd be nothing to achieve. This is why I say to you, as Advaita Vedanta has nothing to do with this world whatsoever. You're trying to make yourself a better human being, or a more mentally competent person. This just makes you worldly. You're here to get off this planet totally and completely. And when you get off this planet, you have to fly away someplace to Mars. And go deep, deep within. And touch reality. It's incomprehensible what will happen when you touch reality. something more beautiful than you can ever understand and appreciate. So stop searching, stop looking, stop being what you are, what you think you are. Stop doing everything you do, mentally. And never consider yourself what's going to happen if you stop thinking. The more you're taken care of, the more of your things that you need. One day you will awaken, you know. You awaken or not. You will awaken. And then you'll see you've always been awake. You know by the time you were asleep. Sometimes become bored. Bored with life. Sometimes become bored with satsang. I look for new teachers, new satsangs, new jobs, new people in our lives. We're looking for happiness, aren't we? And really we'll have happiness if we do all these things I just mentioned. Nothing can be further from the truth. It'll only be a temporary condition. That's why the wise person hangs around and not even under all circumstances. They don't look to be bored or not be bored of the matter, what's going on. We can be in the presence of a sage all the time. It will happen automatically. If you get bored and want to change things, you start all over again. You'll be born again. You go to a new country, you find a so-called teacher, and you think this teacher interesting. You get involved with a teacher, and the teacher becomes boring after a couple of years. You work with somebody else, and it never stops. Everything will stop when you stop. When you become still, then consciousness will begin to move through you and become you. This is the meaning of be still and know that I am God. Be still. Stop searching. Stop looking. Stop being. Everything that you already have. You're totally free and liberated now. So be it. Peace.
I've been reading a lot about a few people in Yamana's time, just by a look or even a hug. There's a story of Anamalai, who Yamana ran over to Anamalai and hugged him for 2 minutes, and he got spontaneously enlightened. Mm. And then he spent the next 38 years stabilizing in that, and then certain other cases. So I wanted you to speak a little bit about transmission.
Yes. Remember, Anamalai was an ordinary person. He was extraordinary because he's been in the teachings for many years. And he prepared himself. He was very humble, with humility. Yes. And it was joy in his heart. And look at Ramana as the divine universe. Ramana was the whole universe to him. So he had something inside of him that when Ramana hugged him and loved him that way, whatever was left dropped away and he became enlightened. And this is true of us too. We're no different than an Anamalai. Except we have such things in our heads that are keeping us back from being ourselves. We're full of our own garbage. And if this happens, we have a long way to go. So we have to develop humility, we have to develop love, peace, and this is what we have to create the enlightenment. And we stop thinking so much about person, place, and things. And the station give you a look, a hug, whatever, and it'll happen to you too. Depending on the person, depending on what's going on, depending on the circumstances. There are no mistakes. Everything's in its right place.
So, Robert, that transmission is radiating all the time. It's not that Ramana just all of a sudden turned on the juice to that one
place. Yes, exactly.
And it's just the person has to be receptive and open so that the transmission can be received.
Indeed. It's very true. Grace is always with you. There's never a time when grace is not. It's up to you to receive it in the right way by preparing yourself. And the best way you can prepare yourself is to keep your mind still and quiet. When you're home, where you're working, think of the sage. We see the sage form, the sage's name. Things are going to happen to you. Find peace, joy. Then you're with the sage continuously. Whenever you think of a living sage, the living sage becomes part of your heart. Becomes a complete heart. And you feel a lot of the sage within you. So you think of the sage will think of you. Whatever you think about, that's what you become ultimately. So you have to be very careful what you think about. Whatever you think about, you become. Think of the sage, you become the sage.
This week you said the mind has to be destroyed, and in the past you've said there's no mind, the mind doesn't exist. So how can you destroy something that doesn't exist?
So the world believes you have the mind, you have to destroy the mind. The mind knows never had a mind, there was a mind, that's to destroy. So it's a question of the person who's thinking, where they're at with their mind. There's no mind, no mind ever existed. But people have a strong belief in the mind, just like there's a body. As long as they think that a strong mind, a strong body, they have to do things to make it become less and less. between the mind and the body. That's why I talk like this many times. Depending on who I'm talking to, depending on who's asking the question. Certain people have to do everything they can to obliterate the mind. Other people just have to be still for a while and the mind will disappear by itself. Everybody's different. But everybody can destroy the mind, obliterate the mind completely, and become liberated. This is everybody's gift. You don't have to stay the way you are. You can become liberated. It's your gift to become liberated. But will you do it? It means you have to want liberation more than anything else in this world. So think of the thing in this world that you're attached to. You come before liberation. That's what I'm talking about. And let go of everything. Let go of all the attachments. And liberation comes by itself. That's wonderful, you're grateful for the self. You're doing what you're supposed to do. And you're making progress. It's wonderful, keep it up.
I wonder if you could say something about creativity. It's hard to reconcile dropping the mind and using the mind creatively.
Not really. Not really. Some of the most famous sculptures, famous artists, did the best work when they didn't think. Take Thomas Edison as an example. If you read a biography of Thomas Edison, he just sit in his rocking chair for 3 or 4 hours every day and lose his mind completely, not think at all. And all the ideas came to him. Because it comes out of the self. Self consciousness is always prevalent, but you keep it back because you're thinking too much. Once the mind stops thinking, consciousness, the self appears by itself as your creativity. Then you become even more creative. So you never believe if you destroy the mind, you'll never be able to be creative. It's not. In any event, what you came to this earth to do and the body you're going to do and fulfill. It's all preordained, all predestined. It has absolutely nothing to do with what you think about or don't think about. Your job is to make yourself peaceful and still, let nature take its course. And you'll find it totally happy and peaceful, more so than you've ever been before. They're both the same, some things, some of the same. Yeah. In order for us to talk about these things, we have to talk about body and mind, the self, and the ego, there's only one. The one is you. The one is the self.
You said you're not the body, but yet every week I see you, your body looks different to me. Some weeks you look very, very young, and some weeks you look very, very old. And I've read in the books that yonis have like spontaneous transformations where they would get super rejuvenated, like they were ready to die, and then all of a sudden they look 30 years younger and have another, you know, many years to live.
That's what you see.
But when the person is enlightened and they're at one with this force, this consciousness, wouldn't that have an effect on the appearances, the body?
Well, then your appearance, what you're saying. So what you're saying. Then it has no appearance whatsoever. Then it's completely empty.
You mean you're the invisible man?
If you see an invisible man, then I am. Why do you see that's what I am?
Sometimes you appear to have no head.
And I have no head.
Like the headless horseman.
Why do you see that's what you get? You get what you see. Now Willow has a reading for us.
Robert was talking today about the relationship between the sage and how you should be with them or how you could be with them. And most of us take this to be strictly an Eastern perspective of how the student is, the disciple is with the sage or the yoni. But someone left this for Robert a week ago, and it's from one of the Platonic dialogues. Theages is talking to Socrates, and it's very similar to the relationship that Robert talks about of the disciple to the sage. One thing, Socrates, I must say, which you will find unbelievable, but which is nevertheless true. I never learned anything from you, as you well know. However, I profited when I was with you, even when I was only in the same house, without being in the same room. And when I was in the same room, I would have my eyes fixed upon you while you talked, and I felt I profited more than when I looked elsewhere. But most of all, I profited when I was seated next to you and when I touched you. And from the Ashtavakra Gita, second part of the Master, which is the longest chapter. Because the fool looks for peace, he never finds it. But the Master is always at peace because he understands how things are. If a man looks to the world, how can he see himself? The Master is never distracted by this or that. He sees himself, the self that never changes. The fool tries to control his mind. How can he ever succeed? Mastery always comes naturally to the man who is wise and who loves himself. One man believes in existence, another says, there is nothing. Rare is the man who believes in neither. He is free from confusion. The fool may know the self as pure and indivisible, but because of his folly, he never finds it. He suffers all of his life. The mind of a man who longs to be free stumbles without support, but the mind of a man who is already free stands on its own. It is empty of passion. The senses are tigers. When a timid man catches sight of them, he runs for safety to the nearest cave to practice control and meditation. But a man without desire is a lion. When the senses see him, it is they who take flight. They run away like elephants as quietly as they can. And if they cannot escape, they serve him like slaves. A man who has no doubts and whose mind is one with the self no longer looks for ways to find freedom. He lives happily in the world, seeing and hearing, touching, smelling and tasting. Just by hearing the truth, he becomes spacious and his awareness is pure. He is indifferent to striving or stillness. He is indifferent to his own indifference. The master is like a child. He does freely whatever comes his way, good or bad. By standing on his own, a man finds happiness. By standing on his own, a man finds freedom. By standing on his own, he goes beyond the world. By standing on his own, he finds the end of the way. When a man realizes he is neither the doer nor the enjoyer, the ripples of his mind are stilled. The master's way is unfettered and free of guile. He shines. But for the fool, there is no peace. His thoughts are full of desire. The master is free of his mind, and his mind is free. In his freedom, he plays. He has a wonderful time. Or he withdraws and lives in a mountain cave. If the master encounters a king or a woman or someone he dearly loves, he is without desire. And when he honors a god or holy place or a man versed in the scriptures, there is no longing in his heart. None at all. He is unperturbed even when the servants despise him or wives, sons, and grandsons mock him. Even when his whole family makes fun of him, he is undismayed. For him there is no pain in pain, no pleasure in pleasure. Only those who are like him can know his exaltation. He has no form, his form is emptiness. He is constant and pure. He has no sense of duty, which only binds men to the world. The master fulfills his duties and is always untroubled. A fool does nothing and is always troubled and distracted. The master goes about his business with perfect equanimity. He is happy when he sits, happy when he talks and eats, happy asleep, happy coming and going, because he knows his own nature. He does what he has to do without feeling ruffled like ordinary people. Smooth and shining like the surface of a vast lake, his sorrows are at an end. The fool is busy even when he is still. Even when he is busy, the master gathers the fruits of stillness. The fool often spurns possessions. The master is no longer attached to his body, so how can he feel attraction or aversion?
Mm-hmm.
There's another third for next time.
Mm-hmm.
The awareness of a fool is always limited by thinking or trying not to think. The awareness of the man who lives within, though he may be busy thinking, is beyond even awareness itself. The master is like a child. All his actions are without motive. He is pure. Whatever he does, he is detached. He is blessed. He understands the nature of the self. His mind is no longer thirsty. He is the same under all conditions. Whether he sees or hears or smells or touches or tastes. The master is like the sky. He never changes. What does the world matter to him or its reflection? What does he care about seeking or the end of seeking? He is ever the same. The victory is his. He has conquered the world. He is the embodiment of his own perfect essence, by nature one with the infinite. What more is there to say? He knows the truth. He has no desire for pleasure or liberation. At all times, in all places, he is free from passion. He has given up the duality of the world, which rises in the mind and is nothing more than a name. He is pure awareness. What is there left for him to do? The man who is pure knows for certain there is nothing that really exists. It is all the work of illusion. He sees what cannot be seen. His nature is peace. He does not see the world of appearances. So what do rules matter to him? Or dispassion, renunciation, and self-control? His form is pure and shining light. He does not see the world. So what does he care for joy or sorrow, bondage or liberation? He is infinite and shining. Before the awakening of understanding, illusion of the world prevails, but the master is free of passion. He has no eye. He has no mind. And he shines. He sees the self never suffers or dies. So what does he care for knowledge or of the world? Or the feeling, I am the body. The body is mine. The moment a fool gives up concentration and his other spiritual practices, he falls prey to fancies and desires. Even after hearing the truth, the fool clings to his folly. He tries hard to look calm and composed, but inside he is full of cravings. When the truth is understood, work falls away. Through the eyes of others, the master may seem to work. In reality, he has no occasion to say anything or do anything. He has no fear. He is always the same. He has nothing to lose. For him, there is no darkness. There is no light. There is nothing at all.
Remember to love yourself, to worship yourself, and to bow to yourself, to pray to yourself. For God dwells in you as you. Om Shanti, peace.